The Old Testament reading for today is from Proverbs chapter 25. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a nobleman. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle reading for today. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. This is our text. Please be seated. Before beginning, I'd like to extend some words of thanks and show off some people. My two brothers and sister, Bill, Joanne, and Steve, could you stand up for a second? Traveled long ways, got up real early yesterday morning. Thank you for being here. My brother-in-law, you can sit down. My brother-in-law, my roommate in college, who left me for his wife. Danny, would you please stand? And then show him what you produced. Well, that's true. You can stand up anyway. But all the cousins and, you know, all you people, stand up. Okay. Thank you. And then, of course, my family, my lovely wife, Chris, if you would please just rise. Thank you. And then, strangely, President Saunders, who, were you even thinking of ending the ministry when you came to my wedding? Okay. But he happened to be a member of this guy's congregation in St. Paul's in Sioux City, Pastor Johnson, and went to Pastor Johnson one day to talk about that, and look where you are now. Thank you all for being here, as also for you, my flock. When I went to seminary, one of the professors that I had drilled it into our heads, don't get caught up in doing your own stuff. Yeah, you know, you occasionally, once in a rare time, you can, you know, maybe pick your own text that has nothing to do with the lessons of the day. And such I have done on a couple of occasions during my ministry, 9/11 being one of them. But I have heeded his advice through the years because he said, in the assigned lessons of the day, there is always sufficient to address the needs of your flock. And so when... And you were surprised yourself when you looked at the appointed lessons for the day. I mean, could you plan it any better? Remember your leaders as I'm retiring. I mean, you know, it's like God picked it out from the beginning of creation. And I've been thinking about this sermon for literally months. Thinking about what I want to be remembered for versus what you might remember me for. There's an organization called Lutheran Layman's League. How many of you have heard of Lutheran Layman? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. They made a horrible decision 40, 50, 60 years ago. They named the longest running radio program in the history of radio with a stupid name. They called it the Lutheran Hour. And for years, you know, when I was young, we had a sign outside of our church. It said the Lutheran Hour. And if the pastor went over 5 minutes in his sermon, we came out and said, that wasn't a Lutheran Hour. And I have heard it said about myself that on occasion, if I cut out 30 seconds or 45 seconds from a sermon, it would not be less effective. In fact, it might be even more. And some of my own family members have told me that. So I didn't want to say anything more than necessary this morning. And so although I don't customarily write out my whole sermon, I thought to make sure I didn't say one more word than I needed to say, that I should write down the complete manuscript. Page one. By the way, this is an old, very old Bible. And this is Norwegian or something? Yeah, it's Norwegian. I can't even read it. Remember your leaders. People want to be remembered as if somehow earthly memories will give them some kind of longer existence. And certain names are remembered more than others. If I say the babe, probably 90% of you, if not more, know I'm talking about some famous baseball player. Lombardi, Super Bowl trophy. Is the Lombardi trophy. How many of you still know what that means? Raise your hands. Not everybody. I don't think you're going to remember my last name for long because some of you still can't pronounce it correctly. It's Krieger, not Kruger. But every now and again, that gets messed up. You know, there was a man with a very memorable name, one that even long after his death, even longer than people even knew who he was, his name, even when they looked at his grave, they'd remark on it, even though it wasn't printed. You know, names come from all kinds of different languages. And so sometimes the way they come off in one language is not what the original intent was. His last name was odd. How would you like to have the last name odd? Oh, yeah, that's odd over there. It was a brutal name to grow up. And many of his family members that also bore the name through the years literally changed their last names because they couldn't put up with it. And so when he was, and he considered it blessed to have all daughters as children, he realized that that name would finally disappear from history after his girls were blessedly married off, and none of them wanted to keep their last names. And so, though in honor and respect of his parents, he continued to bear his last name until the day of his death. When he was buried, he made this request of his wife: don't put my last name on the tombstone. Just put my first name. I want that name to die with me. But you know, some names are just, they stick. And so to this day, though nobody really remembers much about him, even in total strangers who never knew him, never knew his family, walk by his gravestone, look at the first name, note that there's no last name, and say, "That's odd." Pastor. It's not a name. It's a title. For those of you who don't know, it literally means shepherd. And I've often told with some people, I like to be remembered as a German shepherd. But it is not my name for which I want to be remembered, because that has never been my goal. When I became a pastor many years ago, as I shared with you, many of you who were here yesterday, my decision to enter into the ministry was in part motivated by growing up in a public school with no family members in my background who were ever pastors, and wondering who would be pastor to my children. And honestly, in a class of close to 400, I knew of nobody. And growing up in a very Christian home, and having parents who once in a while said to me, "You know, you might make a good pastor." One day, as I got mature enough to understand that you could still tell jokes and be a pastor, even a bad one on occasion, you didn't give up your humanity simply by assuming the office. Riding my bike to work one day, I worked in a pet shop at the time, I decided, why not become a pastor? And I've never regretted it. What do I want to be remembered for? What will you remember for? Me remember for. Hopefully it's not that I went over time once or twice in my 24 years here. But for this, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God. I want to be remembered for not who I am, but what I taught. And blessedly, there's another verse within Hebrews. Hebrews 9, verse 2. Hebrews 10, verse 14. 9, verse 14. I had it just a few minutes ago. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his seat. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. You're perfect. Not in a lot of ways. And through the years I've learned that, and as my family can surely attest to, and as many of you in different ways often can also attest, I'm not perfect. If you don't remember my flaws, that's okay. But do remember what I told you about Christ. Because we live in a world that doesn't want you to know that. Maybe I'm wrong, but in the world we live in, it seems like ever increasingly the goal seems to be to tell people what's wrong with them and not right. We live in a culture where even the God-given body you were given, people are saying, well, that's not what you want. You want to become something else. Self-hatred is rampant in our culture today. But the biggest mistake our world makes is that it thinks it can do something to change that. Part of our preaching is the law of God, which boiled down to its essence says this: no matter what you do, you will not become perfect. If you do your best throughout life, you are worthy of no more than eternal death and suffering in hell. Your works will gain you nothing. But to a world that largely doesn't know Christ, that message is, while it's true, it's really depressing. And so we go from culture to culture, from religion to religion, constantly inventing new ways that maybe if I do this, that I can find joy and peace and contentment and happiness in life because I've changed myself or I've done this. But when you look at the evidence of that type of thinking, it's overwhelming that it doesn't work. I've noted on many different occasions, you know, it's like every other week you pick up the newspaper, you read about some person who's reached the pinnacle of sports, the pinnacle of acting, the pinnacle of all kinds of other fields, and then they throw it all away or that they even kill themselves. By worldly standards, they were great. They were the cream of the crop. But in spite of achieving goals they had worked for their entire lives, strangely, it's still not enough. Doesn't bring them what they sought. The law of God is the truth. He does tell us perfectly what we should be and what we shouldn't be, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But the world does not like the law because it hears it without Christ. because it only hears from God condemnation. And so it comes up with always changing ways, ways that are not God ways, ways of its own pleasure and seeking to achieve that peace that comes from God. And in ways that are not from God, you can't achieve the peace that comes from God. That's just the facts. And it's supported by everything we see in this world. And I'm not going to quote you statistics, although some of you know I've done that before. But if you want to dig down into them on your own, everything I just said has worldly evidence to back it up. So what are we to do as human beings? We can't do it. And God not only recognizes that, but tells us that again and again. But what we can't do, He has already done for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Countless people in this world daily ask themselves the question, who loves me? What do I have to do to be loved? They don't know, and it's your job and my job to tell them. You already are. There are people living in hopelessness. What do I have to do to find hope? An eternal hope is already given us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. There are people who hate themselves because of things they've done in their lives. What can I do to make up for it? It's a hard truth for people to understand. But the answer is nothing. But fear not, because God already has. Blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. So one last time I'm going to tell you what I've told you 100,000 times before. You may not think of yourselves as perfect. But when God thinks about you through Jesus Christ, that's not how God thinks. God looks at you through Jesus Christ. Poor, miserable sinner that you are, He loves you anyway. And the way you were made, boy, girl, tall, short, curly hair, straight hair, it's perfect. You didn't do that, God did. God doesn't make mistakes. Now, you may not be like the other people around you. Well, that's because God made you differently, because He has a special purpose in mind for you. Stop trying to be like someone else. Figure out who you are and what God would have you do with who you are. And that's how you get happy. No, you aren't perfect in all ways. But if you can describe yourself in one way as being perfect, raise your hand. Thank you. And when the new guy comes, make sure he knows that. You know, with retirement comes thinking about other things. You know, where am I going to be buried? You know, he's got a cemetery over there, but I don't think anybody knows me over there really that well. So I'll probably be buried in Cedar Rapids. You'd think pastors usually have this stuff all planned out long before anybody else would, but as I can attest, that guy over there, Pastor Johnson, when Vonnie passed away, how many plans had you made, Grandpa? Not too many. One of the neat things he did, though, when he did his gravestone, is he put something on it. Those of you who know him know he has a favorite phrase. Remember Jesus. It's on his, well, it's not a tombstone, it's a plaque over at Cedar Memorial. And I thought that was a great idea, that even long after he's gone, he'll be giving messages to people who walk by and look at his grave. So I've been thinking that maybe I want to do something like that too when I am laid to rest alongside my wife. And instead of putting down my last name, I thought maybe just say Dan and Chris, perfect, and then put Hebrews 10:14. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. I may not put all those words in there, just the Bible verse, forcing people to go home, open up their Bibles, and look at it. Now, truth be known, as people are walking to the cemetery someday, and if I do that, I don't think my wife is actually going to let me do it, but, you know, I thought about it. They might look down and, you know, Dan and Chris Perfect and say, that's odd. But it's the way I want to be remembered. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.